This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. An investigative reporter in North Carolina uncovered a project in which Marines have been sharing nude photos of female service members. The nonprofit news organization called The War Horse reported last weekend that Marines were sharing links to explicit photos on a closed Facebook group. Some of the women are Marines based at Camp Lejeune, and in many cases, the photos included their names and ranks. The scandal was uncovered shortly after women were first assigned to Marine infantry units back in January. The report made national headlines, and the Pentagon has since opened an investigation into hundreds of Marines who might have shared photos or written explicit and degrading comments on the Facebook page. Here to talk with us about the incident and its fallout is Kate Hendricks-Thomas. She's a Marine veteran and assistant professor of public health at Charleston Southern University. She also serves on the board of a group called Service Women's Action Network. Kate Hendricks-Thomas, welcome to the State of Things. Are you there? Kate is with
Thank
us. We're
you
gonna,
so much for having
Oh, it's good to have you here with us. And Jay Price is also here. Jay Price is WUNC's military reporter. Hello, Jay.
Hey, glad to be your friend.
Tell us what we know, Jay, about this Facebook group and a little bit about the story.
Well, it was a closed Facebook group with nearly 30,000 members, all of them male, apparently, and the group was restricted to that, apparently mostly active duty and veteran Marines. And they had begun passing around photos, a lot of photos, not all of them nude, not all of them probably taken without the person's permission. But, you know, a lot, thousands of photos, a lot of very salacious material, a lot of gathered without the person the photo's permission.
So that's what we have. They circulate. They're also generating a lot of comments. Again, a closed Facebook group. Who is invited to this group? Who are the members?
Well, again, my understanding is that they're mostly veterans and active duty Marines. Now, who they are specifically, don't know. It's, you know, it is secret.
How did we find out about this?
Well, you've got this news organization. This is a fairly recent startup. It's based in North Carolina. Thomas Brennan, a Marine veteran, has started something online called The War Horse. And this is really, really interesting news source for information about veterans, you know, and also about active duty troops. And they do investigations. He actually, you know, raised some of the money online for this. Again, Marine veteran. He's a combat veteran. He was injured in combat in Afghanistan. He's got a Purple Heart. And he, you know, did a pretty thorough investigation on this and started putting information out. And Naval Criminal Investigation Service is now looking into it.
Tell us more about the Marines' reaction.
Well, you know, of course, they're appalled. You know, I'll read you the highest-ranking non-commissioned officer's response. There is no place for this type of demeaning or degrading behavior in our Corps. This includes our actions online. We need to be brutally honest with ourselves. This behavior hurts fellow Marines, family members, and civilians. It's a direct attack on our ethos and legacy. You know, and that kind of gets to this is an online scandal. There's an online debate going on if you read kind of the comments at the bottoms of stories all over the place now. You've got people kind of stepping forward saying, you know, this is exactly the opposite of what Marines are supposed to be about. If you talk about the definition of a Marine, you're always hearing the words honor thrown around and Semper Fi, you know, being, you know, having fidelity to your small, tight-knit group. These women are part of that, supposed to be part of that small, tight-knit group. And then you have other people saying, well, you know, this is just more evidence that the Marine Corps has become too politically correct. They're just boys being boys.
Well, there may be laws broken, too. This could be revenge porn in some cases. In other cases, we might have, as you suggest, photographs that were taken without the permission of the individuals whose photos appeared. So laws could be broken. What about in the state of North Carolina?
Well, it sounds like it's, you know, I pity the investigators here. I mean, they're hacking through a kind of a legal forest. I mean, the photos appear to have been obtained in various ways, various kinds of, you know, from people who in some cases might have been a boyfriend, might have been a romantic partner of some sort. Other cases hacked. You know, so not everyone's implicated as active duty. Veterans are apparently involved. There may even be civilians involved in obtaining photos improperly. So civilian law enforcement may be brought in. We may be looking at a combination of various kinds of military charges, not just one or two, and various kinds of civilian charges. For example, revenge porn is as it's called, when a former romantic partner posts photos of someone without their permission, typically nude photos that are meant to demean and diminish or pass them around. This is against the law in most states now, including North Carolina state law. But there are just a host of different potential legal problems here.
Kate Hendricks-Thomas, we've heard reports about how common sexual harassment is in the military. You served. Tell us about this incident, and maybe you can tell us about how it does or does not match your personal experience.
Well, I think for a lot of us, what's been so interesting about the Marines United press coverage is that we are talking about crossing a line into criminality, into harassment and cyber stalking and all kinds of stuff that is really beyond the pale and is easy for leadership to, in ringing fashion, condemn. But you talk to any female Marine and she has a story. She has some kind of, hopefully not a sexual trauma story, but she has some sort of harassment or some sort of issue that she dealt with. And I'm dealing with a lot of guilt right now personally because silence is consent, as Sergeant Major Green said. And I personally laughed off and interpersonally tried to verbal judo my way out of harassment situations when I was on active duty. And that was what was easiest for me. It certainly didn't make anything better for these young Marines who are now dealing with that culture unchecked in the digital age. And, dealing with cyber stalking and photos that will follow them forever. So when I was in Iraq in 2005, I invested in spray paint. And it was funny. It was something we laughed about. When I went to use a port-a-john, I needed to have black spray paint to paint over whatever large, incredibly descriptive picture of me in some sort of sexual position with commentary that had obviously been contributed to by multiple people, and I needed to spray paint that before it got too crazy. And it was something I did regularly, and I laughed it off. And I was 25 and fearless, and I refused to see it as harassment because I was a Marine. I was an Amazon. Nobody could harass me. And my last active duty station was at Parris Island, and I taught squad bay classes with young female recruits going through their boot camp experience, and I never sat down with them and said, this is the culture you're about to find yourself in. I never brought up harassment, rape. And I tell you, since I left Parris Island, I've heard from a lot of those recruits, and too many of them have stories a lot worse than mine to share.
Well, you've suggested that this one is sort of bigger than life and easy for the brass to condemn. Will this send a message? And, what do you think has to happen to change that culture? And does anything that would happen in this particular episode change that culture? Or are there so many sort of less obvious infractions that you think might go on as business as usual?
I think that if we see a ringing condemnation from the leadership, like we have started to, like we saw yesterday, followed up by action at every level of leadership, and that means punitive action, we have to go after the perpetrators in this situation. It starts creating a culture of zero tolerance and of this nonsense is not permitted. And every woman Marine watching wants to see her place in the Corps affirmed right now. Every has-been like myself that's looking at the Marine Corps that she loves is looking to see our experience affirmed and see the leadership and stand up for us.
I wonder what it says, though, to the commanders and to the enlisted personnel to know that you have a commander-in-chief who has laughed at his own sexual assault and has been, in fact, reinforced by the leadership in his own party, who seem to think that his sexual assault is not a big deal. Does that, does that make its way down the ranks, or is this strictly a military issue?
You know, we talk in the Marine Corps about leading from the front, and despite everything that's going on right now, I love the Marine Corps, and this is an opportunity for the Marine Corps to really lead. This is an opportunity for us to do a complete investigation, to take it to Secretary Mattis, a Marine, to take it to the President, and make it just blatantly obvious that this is something every single level of leadership needs to condemn. And unfortunately, I think Marines United has gone so far beyond the pale that anybody trying to laugh it off and say boys will be boys sounds ridiculous. We're talking about criminal harassment and stalking. So you sound ridiculous if you're still trotting out that tired diatribe.
You're, as we say, a member of a group called Service Women's Action Network. I'm guessing you've heard from women in the field. What's your inbox looking like?
I went home yesterday kind of nauseous, to be honest with you. I have a lot of particularly young enlisted women that I'm hearing from who are being inundated right now with this cacophony of angry, misogynistic, these women are hoes and they deserved it anyway. And that's what they're hearing. Those are the loudest voices right now. You know, those keyboard warriors are a minority and they are small. So I think that we need to squash it and squash it quickly to affirm those women who right now are hearing a lot of negativity. You know, you're hearing women start to share their stories at every single level from multiple service branches, but you're hearing people that you maybe wouldn't expect to have experienced harassment sharing that they've dealt with harassment cyber and in person. So I think spotlight is disinfectant, and it's time for spotlight. And quite frankly, I thank you for your efforts in that regard.
I want to thank you. Kate Hendricks-Thomas is a Marine veteran and assistant professor of public health at Charleston Southern University and serves on the board of a group called Service Women's Action Network. Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And Jay Price, WUNC military reporter, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Just ahead, a North Carolina minister talks about Christianity in the millennial generation. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.